Hey, this is John Lee Dumas of the award-winning podcast, Entrepreneurs on Fire, and you're listening to the Excelsior Journeys with George Soroy. Prepare to ignite.
So would you say that that's kind of like the lightning bolt moment for
you? And that's
why
I taught myself how to draw, was actually the Little Mermaid, drawing stills of Ariel.
I've got better things to do tonight than die.
Sylvester jumped out of his chair and said, who the F is this?
I remember walking out of the theater with him saying, I'm going to write Halloween.
I'm rather impressed with your research. Rarely do people ask me about Children in the Corn.
It doesn't have to be perfect. Just do it. You know, throw some spaghetti against a wall. See if it sticks.
This is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward.
Welcome back to Excelsior Journeys, the road to creativity, part of the Podmatch podcast network. This is George Soroy, and thank you so much for being here. One of my favorite things to focus on this show is to introduce an up-and-coming novelist. And this week is definitely no exception because my guest this week, Annie Atkin, has had her debut novel, Devil in the Daylight. It's a Western that has been released through Ronan Weatherford at the end of last year. And she has signed a 3-book deal also with Ronan Weatherford for a YA series called Blood and Water. And part one of that is coming out later this year. I am really excited to be able to put the focus on an up-and-coming author and to know a little bit more about her books and about her history in writing and everything that's been tackled already in the past and what is coming up in the future. This is a very exciting time, and I'm really hoping that you will enjoy this conversation. And it is my thrill to introduce my guest this week, Annie Atkin. Annie, how are you?
I am doing well, George. Thank you for having me.
And thank you for being a part of the show. I'm always excited to be chatting with a fellow author. And as you know, everyone's got their own take on how they got into this wonderful world of writing. And so I'm really excited to hear yours. So you've already come out with your first novel, Devil in the Daylight. Can you tell us a little bit about that one and about how that one came to be?
Sure. Yeah. Devil in the Daylight is, like you said, it's a Western historical romance set in the Old West. It's about Maggie Bennett, a young woman who is hopeful to get justice for her father, who was killed by an outlaw during a bank robbery. She joins the posse to hunt him down, manages to catch him, but they get separated from the posse. The bulk of the book is her bringing this outlaw back to her hometown to see justice done. But it also turns out that there's a lot more that happened that day. There are things she has refused to acknowledge, and there's a lot more to the outlaw, Jedediah Dawson, as well. So as they are kind of battling the wilderness and the people they run into to get back to her hometown, they also start growing closer together. And so it ends up with Maggie having to make a decision between this vengeance for her family that she's had in her mind for so long and possibly love and a future with this man who somehow seems to understand her better than anyone she's ever met. And yet the idea for it came during COVID. I was just watching everything I could see on Netflix, and Godless was one of the shows that came out around that time. And I was just really taken by the idea of a town run by women. There weren't many men in the town, and so it was just all of these really strong women doing everything, and kind of made me rethink a lot of the Westerns that I had watched with my dad growing up, where it was, you'd have like the plucky saloon girl or the tender-hearted wife, or it just kind of these very docile roles. And I wanted something grittier that still held true to the romance of a kind of romanticized Old West setting, I guess. And Devil in the Daylight kind of blossomed out of that
excellent
core idea. Yeah.
Excellent. I'm really glad to hear that. And it's always fun whenever you watch something that really inspires you to kind of go into this other direction with the story, just trying to see, like, you know, that's one way that it can go, but what if it went like this? And then all of a sudden you're taking yourself on a little journey, and turns out that you're enjoying that journey. So obviously you have, especially with a 3-book deal that's coming out with a whole other series. So these are exciting times. It sounds like things are really kind of starting up for you.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Now I'm just trying to balance when to find the time to write all of the stuff that's still in my head. But good problem to have.
Oh, yeah. I definitely know that problem very, very well. I'm sure, you know, like, yeah, I have my full-time job and family and everything like that. Mm-hmm. So all, you know, like the thing that I'm doing with the audiobooks and with this show as well. And at some point I'll be able to get my own edits done for my own trilogies. So that way that can join the printing schedule and we'll see where that goes. So
exciting.
So one thing that I love to talk about here is what I call the road to creativity. And that's that feeling of being on one course and then all of a sudden you experience something or meet someone or read something and it just makes you go like, oh, that's what I want to do. That's what I want my life to be like. You hit that off ramp, you merge into traffic, you're on a whole other course. So what was it about writing in general that made you want to get into that?
I feel like at this point, it seems like I've always been writing. I think I've always been a reader, I guess I should say, first and foremost. My parents used to joke that they thought I could read before I could read because I would memorize the stories that they would read to me. And then so I knew when to turn the pages as I said it out loud. So I've just always been a consumer of writing. And I don't remember exactly how old I was, but there was a certain point where I started doing it just what you said, where kind of taking the stories I was reading and just putting my own little twist on it as I was falling asleep or going about my day, just thinking about the book. But then it's like, but what if there was this character that did this? And so almost writing fan fiction in my head, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so from there, it was just a matter of like, oh, well, why don't I just kind of put pen to paper and see what happens? And the first few stories that I tried to write were pretty terrible. And I am embarrassed to even think about them, but I just kind of kept doing it. And in college, I took a couple creative writing courses that really helped focus me and appreciate structure and, you know, more of the mechanical side to writing that I don't think about when I'm reading. Mm-hmm. And yeah, from there, it's just I've always had an active imagination. And so it's been this feeling of, oh, I want to do something with that. So let me just try to paint a picture, put some stories out there. And it's been exciting as I finished, you know, actually, I finished Blood and Water before Devil in the Daylight. So that was the first one that I actually started sending out places. But getting feedback, even rejections from agents, still getting feedback with them that it was, you know, there was some encouragement in there and realizing I do have words that people want to read, even if they're not ready for this story yet. But it's just that validation of knowing my creativity can be appreciated by someone other than just me.
Yeah. So you mentioned sending the stories out. What made you want to actually get them out through the traditional publishing means rather than the going indie or doing self-publishing or any of those routes? Because there are those routes that are now available to so many people, and there are so many other ones that want to just get it out there, or they want to just retain control over everything. Mm-hmm. What was the prime factor that made you want to reach out to a publisher?
Well, I think the landscape of publishing and book consumption has changed so much. At this point, Blood and Water, the first manuscript that I was sending out, it was almost somewhere 5-10 years ago. And I feel like even then it just didn't seem, I wasn't as exposed, I guess, to as many indie books. And it seemed like there wasn't a lot of movement, I guess, in the indie space that I was aware of. And so it felt like the only way to really get my book out and specifically have someone else help do a lot of the marketing and the business side of things would be to go the traditional route. And I think it's funny now, since having my Devil in the Daylight come out and getting on the book talk and Bookstagram and just kind of really seeing what that community is like, the encouragement and support and community of indie authors is so amazing that I don't know. I don't know if I would have done it differently if I was starting right now versus years ago, but I'm still learning a lot about publishing, both, you know, what like a big five, or I don't know if there's even still five anymore, but that big publishing contract might look like versus going fully self-published. I'm still learning what feels right, I guess.
Yeah. And it sounds like you definitely made the right choice there, because Rona Weatherford not only took on Devil in the Daylight, but then they were just like, well, what else you got? And all of a sudden you have Blood and Water, you know, like, deal with that. I wound up getting one trilogy signed with them. And after a long talk with my agent, we thought we'd give Rona Weatherford a shot at the other one. And that became From Parts Unknown. So I have both trilogies kind of in the works right now, just behind the scenes, getting ready for a relaunch. I feel like I made the right choice as well. And it sounds very much like we both made similar decisions based on the same aspects, because I've done the indie route. I've already done that with both of my books, with Excelsior and From Parts Unknown. And I just want to have a team behind me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like knowing that these guys have my back and want me to succeed, that's a terrific feeling. That's very validating. And that's definitely what you have in your corner as well. Like, you got a great team behind you. And you know, the cover to Devil in the Daylight is stellar. Like, it looks so good. What were your thoughts when you saw that cover?
Yeah, it's gorgeous. I don't know. It was hard because they asked for some ideas, or, you know, kind of a general concept. And I was like, Shockingly, I haven't thought about the cover, and I know how important a cover of a book is. And so I don't know what I was expecting, but it blew me away. It's exactly what I think I would have described if I had known what to say to them. So I'm so impressed by it. I love it.
It looks really sharp. It looks designed very, very well. And I'm excited to see what Blood and Water looks like as well. Ev, has any talks been started about what those covers are going to look like, or is that still a little further on down the road?
We've started talking. I've given my general ideas, which is probably almost as unhelpful as what I gave for Devil in the Daylight, but I'm thinking it will be more kind of in line with a lot of the YA fantasy, less realistic and more, I guess, drawn, like Celtic runes and something that may evoke blood and water and fire and Vikings, since it's got kind of a Viking inspired world.
So one of the things that I truly love to hear about, and this is something that you're going to find, as you know, since you have your one book out now, but you know, with more coming, the feeling that you're going to feel around fall, it will be the same feeling that you felt last year, and it will never go away. It's a wonderful, wonderful feeling. And that is when all of the work is done, the editing, the writing, the rewriting, the formatting, the cover design, the line edits, you know, like everything is all finalized. Everything is all set. And then all of a sudden there's a package that shows up at your house and you get to hold the finished book in your hands. Take us to that moment for Devil in the Daylight.
Oh yeah, it was so surreal. And I'm glad you said that, because I kind of forgot that I'll get to have that feeling with every book that comes. But yeah, just I think I stared at the box unopened for a weird amount of time, where I was just in awe that there's this box holding what felt like my babies. Yeah. And yeah, just taking it out and having a physical copy in my hand, it's still, every so often I'll still just pick it up when I'm walking through my house, and it's very sweet. I have a 2-year-old daughter, and I talked about my book so often, I guess, that now every time she sees a copy around our house, she'll just be like, "Mommy's book." And I'm just like,
aww.
Even she knows. And it's that same little thrill of that I had when I opened the box for the first time, and just having something concrete in my hands that started out as a thought in my head. It is such a surreal feeling.
Oh, it's great. That really is something special.
I had this great idea because my birthday is in November as well. So I was like, this will be a great birthday party book launch. And I was so excited about everything you just said, like finishing all of the last things with the book and just kind of being done. And then all of a sudden it was October and I was like, oh my gosh, I haven't even like done anything for a launch party. And so we did end up doing kind of just a gathering of friends and family to celebrate the book coming out, but it wasn't the big launch that I had in my head. And so I have just decided I'm going to make it up to myself by doing it really big for Blood and Water.
Nice. And so is that also scheduled to come out in November of this year?
Yes.
Excellent. So good timing. Good timing with everything. Yeah. All right. So I am very excited for you. And I'm also like excited for Blood and Water to see what comes next with that. Do you have other stories in mind to follow that?
Yes, I have. After the Blood and Water trilogy, I've actually been talking with Lindsay, my main editor at Ronan Weatherford, about continuing the Devil in the Daylight books. Oh. So I have a plan to go back to that world. I have a sequel in mind for Devil in the Daylight for those characters. And then I've got, I think, four other story ideas starting in my head for some side characters from Devil in the Daylight. So they get their own little love story.
Nice.
Which, again, is exciting, but I'm going to have to find some time to write these all down.
Good problem to have. And so if there is someone that's out there, and there are a lot of people that are out there that are in that sort of situation where they have a story in their head, but they just have to sit down and get it out. They have to do the work, obviously, and they got to focus on what they need to do to get that story told. Once they have that story told, once it's down on paper and everything, or on the screen, however it is they put it together, what is one thing that you would recommend that they do after that?
I found Scribophile.com, and I think a great writing community. It's a place where you critique other authors' works. They give you feedback, and I found so many really quality critique partners and beta readers through that website. And so I'm sure there are others out there. And there's also, I would imagine, just, you know, any kind of writing workshop you can do, but getting someone else's eyes on it to give you honest feedback, and then just being able to keep in mind that you don't have to take every piece of feedback completely to heart. Like, you know your story best, but trust, find someone that you can trust to give you even some tough feedback. I think that's the most important piece, is start sharing it.
That's a great tip for people to really hold on to while they get this work out there, because it's one thing to write for yourself, but then you have to make sure that it connects with the masses. And the best way to do that is, just like you said, get some beta readers and make sure that any sort of holes that are in that story are filled before you start shopping it around. And so where can my listeners find you on social media?
I am on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, all at Annie. And also my website is annieatkin.com.
Excellent. So
hopefully that makes it easy for people to find me.
Yeah. That's fantastic. And I wish nothing but the best for you, for Devil in the Daylight, for Blood and Water, and for all the different stories that you have in the future. I think that you definitely are a hell of an author that's going to grab a lot of people's attention. And I just hope nothing but the best for you. And I hope that this conversation has inspired all of you to get that, to sit down with something that has inspired you and see where you can take it. See what will work for you in terms of getting that type of story out there, and then just giving it that personal twist, giving it that element of yourself that you can bring to your stories. And then, just as Annie said, get yourself some beta readers to make sure that everything is connecting, that everything makes sense, and see where it goes, because you just might have something really special here. I hope that you do. I hope that you're able to take what we've discussed and push it to getting your works out there to become a reality, because in these crazy times, we need your stories, your ideas, and your visions now more than ever. So for Annie Atkin, this is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward, and I will see you next week.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Excelsior Journeys. I hope it was both inspiring and entertaining. Special thanks to Zach Comtois for providing new music for the intro and outro. Please take a moment to leave a rate and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you enjoy the show, please share it with your friends and subscribe to your platform of choice by going to he'sgotit.com/podcasts. While there, you can also fill out the application to be a guest, inquire about sponsorship opportunities, and click on the Buy Me a Coffee link if you wish to give your support to the show. All interaction is very much appreciated. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for the show, please direct it to George@he'sgotit.com.